College basketball teams are crisscrossing the Western Hemisphere this holiday season in the annual rite of preseason tournaments. Just this week, major and not-so-major schools have been playing everywhere from Anchorage, Alaska to St. Thomas in the Virgin Islands. Joining me now to talk about the new season is sports columnist Stefan Fatsis of the Wall Street Journal. Stefan, Alaska, the Bahamas, Hawaii, how did college basketball wind up playing in such wonderful places?
This goes way back, dates back to 1964, actually. And the idea originally was that Division I schools in places like Alaska and Hawaii and Puerto Rico couldn't get teams to come play them. And so the NCAA created these tournaments. And what they did to incentivize schools was to say, you can go up and play in these places, have two or three or four games, but they won't count against the NCAA's limit for the season. There's a limit on how many games you can play. Over time, that has evolved. Now you can go to these tournaments and only one game will count against a maximum of 28. And what's happened over the years, though, is there's just been an explosion of these tournaments on the mainland, too. There are about 70 men's tournaments and 115 women's tournaments in November and December. About 30 of them still have that exempted status. Now you've got outside promoters, big TV contracts, appearance fees for big-name schools to show up. It's a great run-up to the season, very exciting, but it makes you wonder when enough is enough.
An NCAA panel in the spring voted to do away with the exemption, but then university president said, wait a minute, and delayed the decision till 2004. How come?
Well, the background is important here. The big conferences want to get rid of these exemptions. They say that it's to control the length of the season because a lot of schools are playing 35 or 40 games once it's all said and done, and that's not fair to smaller schools that only end up playing 25 or so. The real issue, of course, is money. The big conferences would rather that their schools play at home rather than at these neutral site tournaments, because when you play at home, you reap the revenue from filling your big arenas. That puts the bigger schools at a greater advantage than they already have. What happened was that two antitrust lawsuits have been filed against the NCAA by promoters and some of these preseason tournaments. The NCAA took a look at that, stepped back and said, we better marshal some data before we try to get rid of this exemption. In the meantime, the tournaments go on, and the big proponents of them, these mid-sized schools, are out there and they're playing, and they love them because they have a chance to knock off the big schools.
I guess fans love the upsets, too. And the early season has provided some pretty good ones. Ball State this week beat third-ranked UCLA a day after beating fourth-ranked Kansas. Western Kentucky beat Kentucky. How much do these early season wins and losses really matter?
Well, they matter a lot to the winners. Assuming, for instance, that Ball State doesn't win its conference, beating those schools is going to give them a huge leg up in the spring when the NCAA decides who gets to come to the tournament. For the losers, the big schools, it doesn't really matter that much. It's a neutral court. It's early in the season. Everyone tends to overlook it. The power schools also almost always get the benefit of the doubt come tournament time. There are some exceptions. North Carolina is a big one. They lost two games at home in succession to Hampton and then to Davidson. And if North Carolina ends up with a middling record, that's going to hurt their chances of getting invited to the NCAA tournament.
Stefan, a couple of familiar names are back on the sidelines, Bobby Knight and Rick Pitino. How are they doing so far?
Well, Bobby Knight, two games, two victories, and he's gotten two votes for his new Texas Tech team in the top 25 polls. He was dismissed, you'll recall, for his unending, unseemly behavior during three decades at Indiana. He landed at Texas Tech. Now, time will tell whether Knight has changed his ways at all, and you really can't predict anything. But hiring him has certainly helped the school. It expects to sell out every ticket at the 15,000-seat arena on campus. Texas Tech's 3-0 so far, and they played their first game on the road the other night, and Knight got a taste of what to expect at Southern Methodist. Fans were chanting, throw a chair, referring to a famous episode when Knight hurled one across the basketball floor. Pitino, meanwhile, won his first game at Louisville. He left the Boston Celtics after four frustrating years to return to the state that he loves and where he won a national championship with the University of Kentucky back in 1996.
Stefan, thanks very much.
Thanks, Linda.
Stefan Fatsis writes about sports for the Wall Street Journal and talks to us about sports most Fridays.